Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rary is Fundamental podcast, episode 47. Sequels are so unnecessary. No one really cares about the guy. Welcome back to the Rary is Fundamental podcast. This will be episode 47 because episode 46 went a little bit long, didn't it, Adam?
Just a bit. I blame you. No.
Always blame Rary. But that's the thing right. Is that we had so many random celebrity encounter stories that it went too long. But that's okay because it was so much fun to talk about. And
I think we should do it some more.
We should do it some more. So, here we go. We decided that we were also going to talk about Twitter celebrity encounters because Twitter
counts.
Twitter makes the world smaller. That's how I met Adam. That's how I met other celebrities in general, and that's why I became friends with them. That's why we're better than you are. Just kidding. So here it is, part two, episode 47, whatever you want to call it. Here we go. Summer League. Like I said, these should really count because I mean I work NBA stuff like that. But so I had just lost a bet. Do you know John Corrales? He does Red's Army, Boston Celtics blog. Yeah,
I know so, who he is. Yeah, Red's Army.
Okay,
yeah.
So in 2010 we had played horse and I lost. Right. Mm-hmm. So the bet was that I made was that okay, whoever loses has to wear a Kwame Brown jersey for one day in Summer League. Right.
Sure.
So I lost, right? So I had to pay, but this wouldn't be done until 2 years later because at that point it was like the last day of Summer League and there was no Summer League in 2011. So I paid for the bet on 2012. So I wore the, so I met with John up in the media room in Summer League and I wore the Kwame Brown jersey. At that point, Mark Cuban had just finished his interview with Ken Berger from CBS.
Oh God.
And Mark Cuban just has an incredulous look at me. Like, he just stared at me for, like, a few seconds. It's like, what is this? He told me. And I explained to him the bet, what happened. It's like, yeah, I lost a bet, a horse with this guy. And I said, you know, whoever lost would have to wear a Kwame Brown jersey for the rest of the day. So I'm paying the bet right now. And then he just looks at me, shakes his head, and he says, be nice to Kwame, man, and walks away.
Oh!
So a billionaire just made fun of me.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, Cubes.
I know. Be nice to Kwame, he says.
Well,
yeah.
Lesson in that for all of us, right?
I was. I wore his jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
I wore it for the rest of the day. I kept getting looks from everybody, but I wore it for the rest of the day. You know, so. Yeah, but, also, since the world's a little smaller now because of social media, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I met you, Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Twitter.com.
So, yes, Twitter.com. So, how about your celebrity tweets? Like, did you tweet with someone, like, which famous
people? Oh,
tweet?
Okay.
So, those are good.
Yeah,
those are good.
Yeah, yeah. So, in the early days of Twitter, 2007 or 2008, you know, at that point, athletes weren't huge on Twitter, except for the ones that were. You know what I mean? There were about 10 of them or so that sort of dominated the Twitter landscape way back when. Shaq was one of them. But another was, Chad Johnson, you know, Ocho Cinco. Yeah, man.
Yes. Yes.
And so he's live tweeting his trip to a movie, at that point. And it was, I don't remember what movie it was, but it was something not good. Objectively mm-hmm. not good.
Mm-hmm.
and it was also not the one that he had said that he was gonna go see. And you know, this was also, you know, back when he would be like, hey, I'm at such and such an address, come here and I'll buy you dinner. You know, he would do stuff like that. So like, everybody wanted to know, like, where he's going to be, this and that, and everyone wanted to, like, get noticed by Chad Ocho Cinco and this. Mm-hmm. And so, eventually, he's like, hey, I went to see so-and-so movie, it was all right, now I got to figure out what to do next. And I'm like, dude, why didn't you see such and such the movie? Like, I think it was like the Fast and Furious, like maybe the second one or something like that. Why didn't you see that? Like, I tweeted that at him, and I expect nothing in response, because,
yes.
Like, it'd be like tweeting at Skip Bayless. Or who's gonna
yeah.
respond? Like, no, Chad doesn't respond to these things. And then he sends back, let's say it's Fast and Furious for the sake of the story. Fast and Furious was sold out, man! And I'm like, and then like 10 different people were like, oh my god, Ocho Cinco tweeted at you. Oh my god, and I'm like, yeah, oh my god, I know! Whoa!
Yeah, like in the early days of Twitter, that was like the coolest thing ever when a celebrity tweeted at you.
Of course, man!
Yeah!
That was, especially like, not only did he like tweet at me, but he answered the question. He read
yes.
the tweet and directly addressed it. Like,
yes.
I think I just interviewed Chad Ochocinco. Am I media now?
Yes.
So that's my celebrity Twitter story. My random celebrity encounter. Chrissy Teigen follows me on Twitter. Has for
Chrissy
years.
Teigen follows. Yeah, follows me too.
Yeah,
yeah,
hell yeah.
So here's what happened with Chrissy Teigen. You know Patrick Muldowney from
mm-hmm.
Fox? Yeah. So we were tweeting, right? And he was just like tweeting out old Vasquable Jones, now the starters videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of it and whatnot. So I tweeted him the one where Taz Mellis did the pole.
Yes.
The pole dancing.
Yes, yes,
that's,
yes.
That's him. I tweeted that to him, and he hadn't seen it at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he retweets me, and then apparently Chrissy and Pat have been friends for years, too, or something, because Chrissy just, like, went LMAO at him, right?
Yeah,
and then
therefore at you, too, right?
Yeah, and at me, too. So she's all, I'm so happy now, and then she followed me.
Hell yeah.
And then at that, and she also followed Taz as well, because Taz was doing the poll, so... Yeah, she followed me and Taz at that point. So
fantastic.
Yeah. And one more from Chrissy. Pat and I were tweeting at each other. And then Pat's like, hey, man, just make a note. Be nice to people, right? And I'm just joking around. Like, I write notes down, whatever, right? I just tweeted that to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat's all, you're the nicest guy here already, right? And I'm all like, you suck. Just joking around, right? And then Chrissy Teigen's like, "F you both." and I'm like, "She wins. Forget it."
So there was a one point where I was, as you know, I am a late adopter in terms of the Fast and Furious,
mm-hmm.
and so I was. Going through it, the series, you know, movie by movie, with the mm-hmm. help and guidance of Zach Harper and Robbie Calland last year.
Right.
And so, we're watching it, we're live tweeting it, and I don't think, you know, it's really only for people who know all three of us. Mm-hmm. Everybody else has just completely tuned us out. And I'm watching Tokyo Drift.
Yes.
Yes. And so, I noticed that wouldn't you know it, there's a bikini gang party going on. You know, like, oh, they've got fast cars and bikinis. How about that?
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Chrissy's like, oh, yeah, I remember that scene. We paid $150 and we had to wait outside all day and freeze and cold for our one shot 15 seconds. I'm like, what? And lo and behold, and, like, she even tweeted about it, like a year prior to that, she's like, my cleavage was in Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, so I'm going to take some credit for this franchise's confusing success. But I had no idea. No idea at all. But lo and behold, I guess, she was in Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I've told these stories on Facebook about Chrissy Teigen tweeting me or following me on Twitter or whatever. And then, you know, I reshared that memory, like, last year. And then all these people are all talking to me, like, the same people that were like, who's Chrissy Teigen, like, 2 years ago, or whatever. now they're messaging me saying, oh yeah, have you ever seen that from, about Chrissy Teigen or whatever? I'm like, dude, you didn't know her like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Why are you telling me about this now? Like, you know, I don't want to be like all elitist or whatever, but like we kind of knew her before she did the lip sync show with Jimmy Fallon.
Right, so, right.
You know, she was an SI swimsuit model for like years. So, mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I mean, I just find it funny with these people that are like all happy to know who Chrissy Teigen is now. Like, we've known her for years, dude. So early Twitter, I came in Twitter around 2008, 2009, right? And my first celebrity Twitter, I guess Twitter encounter was, because I didn't know, obviously, if we were to count NBA, it was Charlie Villanueva was the first NBA player to tweet me back.
Nice.
Yeah. And he was also the one that got busted for tweeting at halftime later on. Remember that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so, the first Hollywood celebrity that tweeted me back was Alyssa Milano.
Oh, that is, yeah. That's an all-timer.
Yeah. Right there. So, yeah, because she was an early Twitter user as well, and she was always tweeting about baseball, so. And then I asked her, do you watch other sports as well? And she's like, go Lakers. And then we talked for like 4 or 5 more tweets after that, so that was cool.
That totally counts. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Lacey Chabert wished me happy birthday, so that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple Playboy models follow me as well, but
really?
they don't tweet anymore, so, yeah.
Well, it's because they're too depressed to tweet, because they're like, oh my god, Ray Ray is on Twitter, and I'm not married to him. I don't think he even knows I exist.
I wish, I totally wish, yeah, right.
That's totally what happens.
Yeah, really. I don't know, I mean, I guess that's as good as it gets. I think the only ones now that who I want to tweet me would be Baby Spice, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying for years of Baby Spice.
Hey, join the club, man.
You too, Baby Spice?
Let's see. Is this going to turn into who's your favorite Spice Girl?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm just because of all the celebrities, like, you know, Lacey Chabert's already, you know, tweeted me or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, okay, I guess all I have left is Baby Spice. You know?
Right.
You know, maybe down the line there'll be more, but Baby Spice is the one that absolutely wanted to tweet me back. I don't know. Who you got?
I don't know. Like, I don't... I mean, the only, like, big-time celebrities that might, like, tweet me back, I've already mentioned, with maybe the possible exception of 2015 Americana Folk Music Award winner Jason Isbell, who's turned into a big deal.
Yeah.
But, like, he and I were Twitter buds for a while, still are. Mm-hmm. But like, other than that, I guess Barack Obama's account, not POTUS, but like the campaign one followed me, like, and then I unfollowed it pretty quickly because I don't follow PR accounts, obviously.
Yeah.
But that was back when like PR accounts would auto follow back,
yeah.
But like wouldn't clean up their followers. If you yep. unfollowed, and so that was just the case that @BarackObama follows me. But yeah, I mean, like there are some other like ESPN personalities that are on my Jacoby bandwagon. Ow, sorry, my cat just bit me. But like, and they're cool people. But you know, at the same time, they're in sports media, and I am still technically in sports media. So,
yeah.
Like, that's not, like, a random celebrity. It's not like it's, I don't know, Russell Crowe. Is
yeah.
Even on Twitter?
I don't even know.
I hope not, for his sake. I feel like that wouldn't go well.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, it's not like that.
Yeah, like I said, same with me in the NBA. It's like anyone that has to do with the NBA, it's like, well, that kind of shouldn't count because I work with the NBA or something. So, you know, I can't do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, no matter if it's like Magic or Jerry West or whatever. It's like, well, I was probably eventually going to meet them. That sort of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Someone tweeting you like, again, Lacey Chabert, Baby Spice, Zooey Deschanel, whatever. That sort of thing, you know?
Right, so, right.
Yeah. Katy Perry. I don't know. yeah, so, wow, we went long.
Follow us, Katy Perry.
Yeah, follow us, Katy Perry, please.
This is Lana Berry from The Lana Berry Show with Lana Berry, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, and Adam Jacoby is a terrible person.
There's a time for love and a time for living. Take a chance and face the wind. Open road and a road that's hidden. A brand new life around the bend. There were times I lost a dream or two.
Hey, it's time to kick it old school. Kicking it old school with EJ and Ray Ray, or with Ray Ray and EJ, whatever works, I don't even know anymore.
Get it right.
I guess EJ, yeah. Either one works. What's up, EJ?
Ray Maraldi. It's been a while.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's funny too because, you suggested that we talk about WrestleMania 7, and in this episode I have a Brandon Stroud well-known wrestling, scribe. But we didn't talk about wrestling this episode, though. We talked about Final Fantasy, so that's pretty funny. But we'll talk about wrestling here, and WrestleMania 7 is where, the last time, Hulk Hogan really had an extended run as a champion, for WWF, so.
The last real run, cause I mean, he won the belt again 2 years later, but that was pretty much, you know, just say, give me the belt, and then I'll give it to Yokozuna. Well, 2 months later, and I'm done. I always put WrestleMania 7 as the very end. To me, like, I know a lot of people put Hulkamania, the end of Hulkamania, pretty much in 1992, like around WrestleMania 8, after the Taker rivalry, or, but I think truly the really end of the peak of Hulkamania was at WrestleMania 7. You really see, and if you follow the sports, you follow that sport for years, and you follow, and you, especially in hindsight, you look at what's happened since. The years to come after that, you already saw the direction they were going in. They were going for more lighter guys, more lighter weight guys, more exciting, individuals, less of the, bulky guys. Hulk Hogan was a draw because he's Hulk Hogan. I mean, that's just not gonna change. But I think WrestleMania 7 was the end of the true peak of Hulkamania.
Yeah, it could also be because, you know, the steroid trial was coming up as well, so they decided they're gonna go with smaller guys.
Correct.
But see, here's the thing, like, I've been told several times by people that WrestleMania 6, Hogan was supposed to pass the torch to Ultimate Warrior, but Warrior's title run pretty much failed. So they went back to Hogan for WrestleMania 7.
Right, and it was funny that, And look, I'm not gonna knock on Warrior. I wasn't ever a Warrior guy. I've been on record saying that on my podcast when we had like discussions about wrestling. I was never a Warrior guy. I was always a Hulkamaniac. It was either Hogan or Savage. Mm-hmm. Period.
Right.
And but you know, obviously the WrestleMania 6, the year before that, you know, they obviously pushed the Warrior into, you know, to be the next guy. You know, Hogan obviously got the belt to him in the in that big match, of course, the Ultimate Challenge. And
yep.
You know, obviously, it wasn't the best run. And that's on record, obviously. You know, the numbers weren't as good. But a lot of that's not fair to Warrior, too, because I think the sport of wrestling at that point started to become less popular. I think at that point, people started figuring out about wrestling was fake. So you lost the ones that were kind of casual and thought it was real. It started losing muscle a little bit, so I wouldn't necessarily blame it on the Warriors' title reign for it being a failure. Which is why Hogan got another match in WrestleMania 7. Now, what I know is that it was rumored that Hogan Warrior was supposed to be a rematch. That never happened, obviously, because the Savage angle, the Sergeant Slaughter angle, and then, of course, the Gulf War and all that. But that was the rumor, that they were having a rematch to Hogan Warrior, and I think, honestly, that Hogan got the belt back, regardless, at 7.
Yeah.
Because I just think Hogan's popularity never moved. Hogan's popularity still stayed high, even after, to be honest with you, when he lost the belt to Warrior in WrestleMania 6, he actually was just as powerful, if not more powerful, because of the way he did it. Like, he was so gracious in doing it, he handed him the belt, you know, he was very gracious, him and Warrior forming a little bit of a bond, I guess, on screen. And, you know, of course, Hogan remembered that little fake injury he had, an earthquake that year, too.
yes.
You know, him breaking his ribs, whatever. That whole thing still made him popular and relevant. So Hogan was still at his peak with power in terms of popularity, even without the title. But I think after WrestleMania 7, it really was truly the end of Hogan's true peak. Like, yeah, I guess a part of WrestleMania 7 was still pretty big, but, you know, once he got to that WrestleMania 7, and maybe even the end of the year when he faced Taker, was the end of his peak, really.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, like you mentioned, wrestling was becoming, you know, less popular by that time. Everyone's trying to figure out if wrestling was real or not and whatever. So, just wrestling in general was just not as cool anymore around that time. And so that means also less fans for Hulk Hogan. And again, they're moving towards a direction where, you know, smaller guys are winning, like Ric Flair and Bret Hart, you know, Shawn Michaels.
And Ray, another thing too, not to interrupt you quick, but another thing I think people forgot also, you remember, Saturday Night Main Event was huge.
Yes.
So it was on every 4 or 5 times a year. That was, that was NBC, one of NBC's biggest cash cows for a while, outside of NFL football. Well, that year, NBC got right to the NBA. The NBA and NBC started that year. And the NBA, the NBA's popularity also too, with Jordan, that same year Jordan's first title. That also dipped into the interest as well too, of wrestling. Believe it or not, and people are gonna say, "Well, what does that have to do with the other?" But the fact of the matter is, NBC, you know, started putting money into the NBA, and if you notice, that was the first year after 7 years. That was the first year where the main event, or the main event, didn't have multiple shows that year. They only had two that year, actually. In February and then in April, May, and then it was done. And they were done, and the next time they were on TV again, and the very next year on Fox. So, you know, you can see a lot of that coming as that you saw that left brain effect on TV and whatnot. That was kind of like the elixir that, you know, to me, it was welcome media, the popularity was not there anymore, too.
Yeah. So, after that, he lost the title to Taker, and then he had a match against Sid in WrestleMania 8.
Yeah.
And then he was just, you know, and he was just like largely just like not there anymore, you know?
Yeah.
He got the title in WrestleMania 9 in a flukish kind of way, against Yokozuna. So, yeah, and that was it. And he was just doing Thunder in Paradise or something like that, you know? So, that was pretty much it. Hogan was slowing down, and, you know, even Vince McMahon saw that coming too, saw that light at the end of the tunnel, that, you know, that this is it for Hogan, and he didn't resign him or whatever happened. So Hogan was gone, and of course Hogan would make history again by helping WCW become relevant.
But that was interesting too, because it was definitely like people say six was a change in the guard, but the change in the guard was never really long term, because Warrior was supposed to be the next guy in the 90s, and that never happened, really. So, was really changing the guard. I think, you know, if you dip into the WrestleMania card, for example, Undertaker's first WrestleMania, that was his first one. His popularity, I think, after that point, got huge, because remember, right after that, his match against Jimmy Snuka, was his rivalry with the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
So, Taker got a lot more fans on top of that, too. So a lot of Hulkamania fans who got older thought Taker was more cooler. So they went that way.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 7 also birthed, you know, of course, the Warrior Savage. I mean, the best match in the car was Warrior Savage, by far.
Yes.
That was Savage. I mean, I know he lost the match in his quote-unquote career, which really wasn't a career. He came back about 8 months later.
Yeah.
But you know, that was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen, and that's because of Macho. Macho was the reason why the match even was great, because Ultimate Warrior couldn't wrestle shit. Let's just be honest. He was a terrible wrestler. Macho carried guys. You know, a lot of things that, you know, that was actually a pretty decent card also in general. I mean, that was the first WrestleMania without Jesse Ventura, as commentating. So it is a lot of different things. WrestleMania 7 was very much a landmark WrestleMania in terms of, changing of the guard overall in wrestling and just in general.
Yeah. Also, that was the last match for the Hart Foundation tag team. And
correct.
After that WrestleMania, Bret Hart had a singles run.
Correct. That was the start of Bret Hart's singles run, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely a lot of things happened in WrestleMania 7, and it was the true last run for Hulkamania. You know, yeah, sure, he had a revival later on when he came back in 2002, but really, this was the last year of...
The original run, right.
Original Hulkamania run, so, yeah. And I think that's pretty much it. So what else do you want to say about Hulk Hogan before we leave this section?
Probably the weirdest rivalry of all. Very uncomfortable. And I think I put this on Snapchat. You might have seen it on Snapchat a couple days ago. But this is when Vince really was edgy in terms of storylines. You know, obviously using the Iraq War storyline was very dangerous in itself. Having Sergeant Slaughter, who's not only the world champion, but an Iraqi sympathizer at that time. You know, and Sergeant Slaughter was known as a new American hero. You know, and you remember this too, also. Vince calls himself Bunny because originally the WrestleMania was supposed to be out in the Coliseum, the LA Coliseum.
Yes.
Remember that? And then
I got
put it because of death threats. I think also ticket sales too weren't great, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But there were death threats also, from what I understand, to Sergeant Slaughter, a couple of guys. And for security reasons, they opted to put in the sports arena instead. Sports arena in LA. The old Clippers place. But, you know, you had that storyline was dangerous, of course, but didn't give a crap because he's a man. Then you had the whole Virgil Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase match that, you know, obviously Virgil being black and being a servant / butler, whatever you call it, to Million Dollar Man, and then he finally breaks free, that whole thing. That whole storyline was uncomfortable to get for years, and it played out well there. It was a good, let's say it was a very good card, actually. It was a pretty good card. It holds up okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it still holds up to this day. So we'll definitely remember that WrestleMania as one of the better ones for the first 10 years or so. So, yeah, I think that's all we got, and we will see you again in the next episode. Thanks, EJ.
Thanks, Ray.
This is Robert Littow from the world's most dangerous website, Black Sports Online, and I want you to check out Ray Reyes' Fundamental Podcast. It's the best in the business. It's not none of that BS. It's all about keeping it real and keeping it authentic. So definitely check it out.
What's up, guys? It's time for some girl talk.
It's girl talk with the Gal Pal Squad.
It's girl talk with the Gal Pal Squad. I haven't had her in a while, but Laura from Clear Eyes Full Shelves is back with us. What is up?
Hey, guys. How's it all going?
Okay, so we are going to talk about a very interesting part of our lives. Or maybe not so.
I don't know that I'd put it that way.
But maybe not so, really. but high school. See, here's the thing.
I didn't pick this topic, guys.
I know. Of course I did.
I apologize if I end up boring you.
I usually pick the topics here, but see, here's the thing. Like, when people, are you still friends with some of your high school friends or whatever?
No, the last time I talked to anybody from high school was probably been over 10 years. And that person was actually a friend of mine from childhood.
Mm.
So it wasn't just a high school friend, you know, so.
Yeah, see, because I kind of want to gauge, like, how we were in high school to how we are now, because some people still think that, well, you're still pretty much the same guy, Ray, and then I don't know if they do that towards you, but you don't really have, like, any high school friends to talk to about this sort of
thing.
Yeah,
but I think I'm pretty different. Like, I think that people from high school, I don't know that they would think I was the same person, except that I still really like Star Wars, so.
See, that's the thing, is like, I know I've changed, like, I know that, but people still think that I'm just still the same core guy from, like, high school. Oh, I still, I'm still lame with my jokes. I still put out song lyrics, stuff like that. Yeah, I did that since high school. So it's like nothing's changed with me or whatever. I don't know. See,
how do you feel about that?
I don't know. I'm just indifferent about it, I guess. I mean, me is me, I suppose. I mean, I'm not offended or anything like that. But here's the thing, because like I put out recently a video on Instagram. I found a video of. Okay, so I participated in this male pageant called Mr. Buck in high school, because we were the Buccaneers in our high school, and that my senior year, it was the first of its kind where this time we'd have a male pageant, and I was somehow suckered into this, and you know, so I did my thing, you know, and the video that I showed on my Instagram was me doing a spin, like a twirl or something like that, you know, just to show off, oh, look at me wearing a tux or whatever, that sort of thing. So
you're like walking the catwalk. I mean, what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah. Yeah, so my friend was like, oh, man, you're basically the same guy. I'm like, I guess so. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's been like, what? Oh, my God, next year is my 20-year reunion. And I'm still the same guy.
Well,
so
your hair is different.
Yeah, my hair was different, and
you walk around down the street like spinning like that. Is that what your friend is trying to say?
I guess I'm still like the same mess around guy or something like that. I mean, I'm more, believe it or not, I'm more serious now than I ever was. But I know people can't figure that out. But like, I don't know. Like I guess I've always been kind of like happy-go-lucky, that sort of person, you know? So
yeah.
I don't think much has changed when it comes to that. But I guess what's more of an upset is that I was in a male beauty pageant than anything. What's so funny? I don't know. I almost feel like I was the only Asian guy in that beauty pageant too. You know,
I don't know. I mean, you're from a much more diverse area than I'm from. I don't know. I always end up somehow living in, like, the whitest cities in America, so. Well, actually, I don't know that that's true, but, like, I end up living in places where there's not very many Asian people.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Buffalo actually does have a big African-American population, but, like, Buffalo is actually still. I haven't been there in a long time, but when I lived there, it was still pretty segregated in a lot of ways, and, like, I hardly ever saw black people, even though there's a lot of them that live in the city. I mean, I know that sounds really bad, but that's just the way my life was when I was growing up, so.
Mm. Were you a social butterfly in high school, or were you kind of like,
no.
I don't know.
No, like, not at all.
I was kind of a loner, too, but I knew everybody. And people knew who I was.
Yeah,
I just didn't have, like,
my high school is really small because I went to an all-girls Catholic school. Not Catholic, but I went to a secular prep school in middle school. Christian Leitner went there, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, if that tells you anything about how awesome this place is. And I really didn't like it. I had a really bad experience there in middle school. So I didn't want to go there for high school. Actually, for them, it was called the upper school because that's how pretentious the school is. And my parents didn't really want me going to public school in Buffalo, so my other option was Catholic school, so I ended up going to Catholic school.
But it was small,
so we all knew each other pretty much. Like, it was just those, you know, 100 people per class or so, so very small.
Was it kind of a bit awkward that there were no boys in that? Like, how did you feel about that at the time?
I think I was fine with it because, like, I was so awkward around boys that I almost preferred, like, not to have them around. Like, I was just, like, I didn't really have a lot of experience, like, dealing with boys. And, like, I think in some ways, like, I know that, like, single-sex education is kind of controversial and, like, they don't allow it in public schools and stuff like that. But, like, honestly, I think it was a very beneficial environment for me because I feel like schools like that, like, you're not, like, distracted by the opposite sex. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like most people are heterosexual, you know? And mm-hmm. I feel like when you're all going to school together, like, you're just, like, so distracted by, like, that stuff. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Or, like, when you go to school with, like, the opposite sex, then you have, like, the boys trying to, like, show off for the girls or something like that. Or, like, I don't know.
There's
just, like, all these different, like, dynamics that get taken away when the boys aren't there, and then you just allowed to focus on school, which for somebody who's, like, pretty nerdy like me was, like, a good thing. I guess if you're not really a nerd, you wouldn't like that very much, but...
Oh, you're telling me. I'm always trying to, like, show off. Like, oh my gosh, like, looking back, like, I would punch my 18-year-old self, or maybe my 17-year-old self or whatever, because, man, I was pretty obnoxious at the time.
But you like doing that to get girls' attention, or just to be obnoxious in general?
Yes. Yeah, so, is there any regrets, you had in high school? Like, or something like that? Like, any sort of, you wish that you did in high school?
I think I wish I had maybe been a little more open. I was very closed off, like, because I was definitely kind of a loner. Mm-hmm. Like, I almost, like, I mean, the people in my class were nice. Like, I think we got along pretty unusually well. Like, I mean, there were definitely different groups of people that hung out together, but, like, the group of people in my class weren't, like, super cliquey. Like, mm-hmm. and nobody hated each other, really, maybe one or two people. But it wasn't really, like, that really awful stereotypical experience that you read about all the time, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Everybody got along pretty well, and I feel like I could have maybe done more to get to know other people and let them get to know me. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it is what it is. And I'm a happy person now, so it's fine.
Yeah, I haven't always been happy-go-lucky. Like, I was pretty closed off. Like, I had some friends in ninth grade, obviously, and I let people get to me in 10th grade to the point where I would hide in counselor's office.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was, like, that bad or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's why I left my middle school. I had, like, a really bad experience, so.
Mm-hmm. And looking back, it really wasn't that bad. I just let people get to me. And, like, halfway through my 10th grade, I just decided, like, I didn't give. I didn't care anymore. So, like, my happy-go-lucky side came out, and everything was for the better. But my regret is, okay, they were practically handing this to me, but I refused being the mascot of the school.
They were
practically handing... Huh?
Was that a big deal? I'm sorry, I don't really know much about being a mascot. Is that
an honor? You have to go to school really early because you hang out with the cheerleaders like around 6:30 or whatever. I just didn't want to do that. You know,
down being able to hang out with cheerleaders.
I know, right? But at the time, I was like, I don't want to wake up that early or whatever, so I just didn't want to do it. But yeah, I actually refused to hang out with a cheerleader at 6:30 in the morning.
So now you regret it?
It's not because of not hanging out with the cheerleaders, because I was already plenty of friends. I was already friends with the cheerleaders, like, you know, of course you knew that, right? But, yeah, I don't know what this says about me, but, like, man, I would have loved being the mascot of the school. What's so funny?
Nothing.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest regret in high school, honestly. Like, I could have been that idiot dancing in football games or basketball games or whatever. That could have been me. But nope. Yeah.
You probably would have been really good at it.
What was that you told me that one time? Oh, yeah, you asked me, it's like, if I was a good dancer, and I told you, I'm a good 90s dancer.
And then I said, so no, you're not a good dancer.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I guess another regret that, since I love Portland, you didn't get to see me dance. That's another regret that I have. That's not high school, but that's more, like, recently.
But you're going to come back and visit sometime, aren't you?
Yeah, I should be, like, very soon.
Really?
So,
you didn't tell me that.
I'm still making plans.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, but it should be around the springtime, so. But in any case, yeah, so you missed out on dancing Ray Ray the mascot or something. I don't know. I would have been a Buccaneer, you know? That would have been cool. Yeah, so what does that say about me? Have I changed a lot since high school? Can you judge off of that?
I really can't.
I swear to you, I'm more of a serious person now than I was at 18. At least you can come to that conclusion.
I've been, like, a really not serious person at 18 then.
No, I was not. So, if we could go back in time, back to high school, would you have liked 18-year-old me? Like, would you have been like, oh, this guy's cool? Or is this guy obnoxious or whatever?
I probably would have thought you were obnoxious.
Okay.
I mean, I still think you're obnoxious, but...
Okay, I'm ending this show. Thanks, Locke!
Kidding. This is Rowan, and you're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast.
Go ahead and plug your social media.
my Twitter.com is Adam_Jacoby, with a J and an I, four letters in between. You can probably figure out the four letters. But the underscore is critically important. Follow me there. Let's be friends. What's your Twitter sign, Ray Ray?
My Twitter sign or handle is the No Look Pass.
Twitter sign. Come on.
And follow, not follow, go to my website, thenolookpass.com, and I also do another podcast for tjrwrestling.net. I talk about wrestling with my friend John Catton, and I think that's about it. So if you would, Adam, can you please close it out?
Well, one little bit of advice that my grandpappy gave to my daddy and my daddy gave to me was, there's no need to be bugging when it's a Ninja Turtle you're hugging.
And we are out of here.
Game over, yeah!
Voted.